Captain Collins shall return.
You know, I'm like Alvin and the Chipmunks.
There you go.
I don't like,
what?
Because we like to sing lots of songs and sing. I don't know the words anymore.
Good.
You know the song I'm talking about, right?
No, I have no idea.
But
what
we don't like
about.
To mow the lawn, no. Rake the leaves. Do you?
Okay, we have right.
actually the real Alvin's.
All right, Alvin.
Hi, how are you?
Bye.
What do you guys want me to sing?
I want you to sing that song about how you don't like to do work.
No. It's Christmas. Christmas in August.
I don't want to hear the Christmas song.
All right, forget about it then.
Bruce and Colin shall return.
If God suddenly decided to talk to Bill Curry and appeared in the form of like a burning bush, you know, and started talking to him, first of all, the bush would get like maybe one or two words out, a couple of sentences. And then Curry would just talk about some paper he wrote while he was in the White House and that he contradicted everything the bush was saying, and then eventually the bush would start to lose interest and it would start smoldering and then it wouldn't leave me on fire anymore and Curry would still be talking.
Would you say that Curry was...
He was fascinating.
Yeah, that's what I...
He was fascinating.
You know this whole thing about the Harvard police getting two segues? It's kind of hard to see this as a really sort of kick-ass crime-fighting tool.
You don't see a lot of high-speed chases on Segway.
Stop, or I'll glide towards you in a very energy-efficient manner.
5 miles an hour.
It's that kind of thing. That's going to strike fear in the hearts of some of those crackheads out there.
It's going to give all new meaning to the word freeze.
That's right.
Yeah. Freeze or what?
Yeah. That's right. Put down that gun in that crack, and I'll be over in about 15 minutes, all right? Just stand there, all right? Just stay right there. I'm coming closer now, okay? So don't move. Man. Here I come, all right?
All of a sudden, those bicycles are looking really swift.
Yeah. Here, I'm getting closer now, all right? Just stay there.
Don't shoot.
I'm not using much energy. I'm getting closer. All right. Thank you. And then I just want to say this. You know, I mean...
Oh,
I don't mean to criticize
beautiful.
A fellow broadcaster, but Buddy Vicevich today received...
never leave things lying around in the studio.
Buddy needs to do a better job of cleaning up the studio. He left a chocolate bar the size of a baby, basically, here.
Well, we don't know that could have come from the morning show, because they leave things in here, too.
Which now Bobby has eaten, like, almost all of, and is about to go into, dialysis. But meanwhile, he also left in here. He received from a very loyal listener 3 free copies of this loyal listener's 3-volume set of self-published philosophy, including Ultimate Principles, Volume 1, The Grand Unifying Theory Pending. And these are the kinds of things that are sort of, they appear to be kind of self-published and self-typeset, and they have lots of diagrams with pyramids and arrows in them and stuff like that, which...
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
To my mind, that makes fascinating reading.
Yeah.
And so this person took the time...
There's a letter that goes along with it to send Buddy
his self-published philosophy of history that explains basically how everything went wrong. This person who sent it, I'm not going to mention his name, but he's...
Yeah.
He's a metaphysical system philosopher. Lives in East Hartford.
Guy we used to have on, is it?
I don't think
the
so.
Scientist?
No, Rob the Scientist?
John the Scientist.
No, it's not John the Scientist. But thank God for that. But, you know, someone clearly thinking out of the box.
What box?
Well, that's the question. and maybe should get back in the box from time to time. But all I want to say about this, if you're out there, Mr. Metaphysical System Philosopher, who sent your own self-published... 3 volumes of your work, this enormous tome that you put your life's blood into.
Apparently other people weren't quite as impressed with it as you were.
I would say, judging from my Henry Lee-like forensic analysis of this, I don't think the spines have been cracked. I don't think the pages have been riffled. All right?
It doesn't look like it.
My sense is I've actually spent more time looking over this man's metaphysical system philosophy, his philosophy of history.
Yeah.
Then the person to whom he addressed this work.
Would you be perhaps taking those home tonight and leafing through them?
Well, I actually have a meeting of my own trilateral commission organization tonight, or I would.
Right.
Because I care. You know, I care about the listeners.
It's going to take a lot of caring to go through those.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot to get through. This isn't just one evening's reading.
No, this would be any
more than the metaphysical system philosopher who designed this did it one night.
All the info you need and more, weekday mornings on WTIC News Talk 1080.
If you're scared of going to the dentist, I have a great solution for you. It's Dr. Jerry Rosenfeld. That's right. Dr. Jerry Rosenfeld right there in beautiful Avon. He specializes in people who are afraid of the dentist. He's so dedicated, isn't he, to making your experience very comfortable. He provides headphones while he does what he does, so you listen to the chief dentist while he's working on your teeth. The future of dentistry has changed. There are already high standards of care. They've just been raised with the breakthrough technology, the new dental laser.
Does he have any leprechauns?
Welcome to the... Yes, he does. He's got... Well, never mind. Welcome to the... I've got to be careful here, you know. Welcome to the conference, though. No drill, no noise, no numbness. We haven't very many pain clients left, so Dr. Jerry Rosenfeld is delighted to offer the new dental laser to his patients. Quieter, quicker, state-of-the-art water laser replaces the drill in most instances. It is like a little elf going inside your mouth, and it never hurts you. Over 20 years of teaching and hands-in-the-mouth experience, now he's got a water laser, too. Exceptional dentistry, maximum comfort, bridges, crowns, bleaching, or bonding. Your care and comfort is the chief priority for Dr. Rosenfeld and his loving staff, Linda and Magdalena. Call 674-0707 for an appointment for the smile you've always wanted in the warm and relaxed atmosphere that spells success. Most insurance is accepted. Located in Old Avon Village on Route 44, in Avon at the sign with the silver toothbrush. Easy parking in some evening hours. Call Dr. Jerry, the dentist who caters to cowards. Call today, 674-0707.
Colin shall return.
Dennis in a car. Hello, Dennis.
I'd like to dedicate this to our House of Representatives. There you go. Everybody.
Every Tuesday at 9 on...
Right.
Who knew his last name was Horn? It just seems like a rather prosaic...
Oh, Roy was his last name. I thought he was like, you know, the goaltender for the Colorado Avalanche.
The,
I
did have a lengthy conversation one day with a lion tamer. He was the lion tamer for the Coal Brothers Circus. And if you ever see the movie Fast, Cheap, and Out of Control, which is a documentary about people with strange occupations, you'll see him interviewed. And what he told me was he worked with lions and tigers. And he said he had worked with every kind of big cat there was. And that when he had been attacked, it had only ever been by lions. And that lions were just a lot more dangerous. The tigers in his act looked much more dangerous. They were more animated.
Mm-hmm.
But he told me that only lions had ever attacked him. He said an adult male lion is the most dangerous animal you'll ever work with because they're lazy. They don't want to do the show, and they'll kill you to get out of it. But he said that basically the way that his act worked, I don't know about Siegfried and Roy, but his act worked because the animals didn't know that they could kill him. Basically, he said, I go in there every night, and I don't have anything that could stop these animals. The only reason they don't kill me every night is because they think I'm God. Which I thought was interesting. This guy was if I had to make a list of the 10 most interesting people I've talked to in my life, this guy would be on it. It was the most fascinating conversation.
So somebody could have really screwed this guy up if he'd gone around and whispered in the ears of these lions, you could kill him.
Well, he said that anytime he'd been clawed by a lion, this guy told me, he had to finish the act. Even if he's standing on stage bleeding, he would finish his act, finish the show. And the one exception to this was there was an instance where he was really badly mauled and he needed like 150 stitches or something, and he had to be taken to the hospital.
I think that would have been right then when I would have changed my occupation. Mm-hmm. It had been me.
Well, what he said was he could never work with that lion again. He had to get rid of that lion because the lion knew it could hurt him. But with the other lions, they would every once in a while, one of them would whack him, and he would just pretend it didn't hurt and it didn't do anything, and he would finish the show. Because if he acknowledged to the lions that they were able to get out of doing the show by clawing him, they would just do that every night. And he'd be dead eventually. So I thought that was interesting. But I asked him, because the tigers looked more dangerous. I said, I assume that tigers are the most dangerous animals. He said, nah, the tigers aren't that bad. So I was surprised.
Tell that to Roy.
Yeah, Roy's having a bad day, obviously. Yeah. A couple of bad days. But
have his neck removed. I mean, well, he probably would disagree with that statement.
I guess one problem about tigers is that Joey and I, my son and I, were talking.
You train tigers? You and Joey?
We had got a couple of tigers. We were talking about tigers and how dangerous they are, and I guess it is true that if they want to kill you, they can. And what they do is they don't bite your leg or your arm; they go right for the head and the neck. I mean, they go right at the place where they can kill you. They don't bite to wound. So that's a problem with tigers.
Yeah, small one.
But
I guess that's a problem with tigers.
Yeah, that's a problem.
There's an understatement.
Do you know there's 4 subspecies of tigers?
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, you get your, I mean, there used to be more, but a lot of them are extinct.
Yeah.
I believe the 4 are Sumatran. They're like coffee, you know, basically. Yeah. Sumatran, Bengal, Siberian, and South Chinese, North Chinese, something like that. South Chinese, I think is what they're called. And that's about it. There used to be Balinese and some other ones. I guess they're all gone.
Cincinnati Zoo has the white Bengal tigers.
Yeah. And I guess there might be just as few as 5,000 tigers living in the wild these days. I read quite a bit about this today because I actually was...
Cincinnati Zoo is an interesting place, located in an interesting section of town.
In Cincinnati.
I believe that Mr. Sherwood used to live in that... very close to the zoo,
In
his undergraduate days at that fine institution.
Yeah. Well, he still dreams of Cincinnati. There's no question about that.
Well, of course, wouldn't you? I know I do.
Yeah. Yeah, there are about 5,000. I guess there are 5 subspecies. I guess I don't know what one of them is. I thought there were only 4. I apologize.
You ripped off those other 4, though. It's pretty impressive. See, I didn't know. Man knows his tigers.
There must be one that I'm not aware of. But
it would be the Detroit tigers.
Could be. Maybe there's a Burmese tiger or something. I've read interesting things about how tigers kill people, like in India and stuff like that. And I guess one thing that they do is, I mean, you know, you're walking down the road at night with 3 or 4 of your friends, and just one of your friends is just sort of not there anymore, and you don't hear anything, and you don't, I mean, I guess they're famously silent in their ability just to kind of fly out of somewhere and just grab
them. I didn't envision that. I figured there would be a lot of thrashing, a lot of growling going on, lots of growling.
I remember I read a lengthy article about this one time, and apparently they are able, if they want to anyway, just to, you know.
Well, they could, with the paw.